if you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too. And I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. Have that Geico theme going on, and well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick. But not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram, and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos, and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too. So I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at Prism Designs underscore company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at Whiskey underscore throttle underscore grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants. And we're back, episode 36 of the MOTO247 show. Anaheim 3 just got over with. And I noticed in the last podcast, I said Anaheim 2 like a lot, which I just now realized when I listened to that the other day. But it was Anaheim 3, the third one, in Anaheim there. And it was some pretty good racing. The whoops were gnarly. And the track layout was pretty cool, though. But besides those whoops, which were just wrecking people all day long.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, man. I'd be curious to see like the body counts that those whoops had. There was a lot of crashes, and that was kind of the big decider, I think, in both main events. As far as like the 250 class, you know, with Hunter Lawrence going down in the main, and even like Shimoda, you can even go back to say Shimoda in the heat race, but then Blos going down, Mosman, like it jumbled up, and it was the reason that the podium was that how the way it's landed, you know.
Yeah, they're weird because like even hearing what riders had to say on it, they're saying the size is fine, they're not like too big, they're not complaining about it being too big or anything. It's just how they're being built. And And there's quite a few riders that are talking about it. Nicoletti wasn't there, but he was, you know, watching, and as he's about to do the East Coast, as you guys know. But he's like, "Do they think we're fucking cats? We don't have nine fucking lives." And that's how they were. Like they were gnarly. Where like if you look, like one side was lower than the other, and then they just got really chewed up. And
it almost seemed like Tomac had made reference to on the podium that he said they were getting like slick and hard. You know, like, so, and it almost seems like they're, like, peaky or something, too. Like, you have, like, a smaller top, like, knuckle of the whoop to make contact with, so you have to be more precise. But then, like, that combined with them being hard and slick, it was hard to just keep your straightforward traction. That's where everybody was getting skipped around sideways.
Yeah, and it seemed like everyone, even the guys who are known for their whoop speed, were, like, super sketchy through those things. And yeah, they claimed quite a few people, and yeah, like even, you know, during practice and qualifying, like the body count of those whoops, like you said, has to be pretty big. They were, I don't know, they suck. Like, and what we're talking about earlier before we started the podcast here was, like in years prior, the whoops were actually getting smaller and easier, and now it's like they're going completely the other way, and yeah, they're big, but they're also really sketchy now too, so it's just a little different for sure.
Like, I'm going to blame Cooper Webb for it. Like, I think that the promoters were getting tired of him finding jump lines through him, and they didn't want to see that anymore. And I think that the track builder or somebody was just like, you know, we got to put a stop to this, and we're going to make them all impossible to jump rhythm through.
Yeah, heck, like, just thinking about that now, it's, like, the last couple of years I never see, or before the last couple of years, I should say, I never seen really anyone jump through them as much as they were. Like, it was, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like, all the riders, like Cooper and Marvin jumping through them, and,
yeah,
and everyone, and...
No, and it was almost turning into, like, you had to do that because it was, seemed like the guys were almost able to be faster, or, but if, even if they weren't faster, they were, like, almost saving more energy. So it almost became like that race tactic that you had to like conform to stay with the rest of everybody else or something. I don't know. I couldn't believe it because it seemed like everybody was starting to like have to jump rhythms through them at some point.
Yeah, now there's these like impossible things. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much money you'd have to pay me for me to go into those things and grenade myself like a split second in. But yeah, and there's some pretty gnarly crashes in there, like Hunter Lawrence. Went down really bad, and you know that was pretty bad, really gnarly.
We just saw like some like good pile ups at the end of them in the LCQs and stuff.
So, yeah,
there were all kinds of crazy stuff, and like I said, they had almost decided the podium finishes for this weekend because like Tomac said, he's like I just backed it down. He's like, I felt uncomfortable in the whoops, and that you know if I was gonna hang it out, it was gonna be dangerous. So he sounded like he just backed her down and settled for second, just for safety.
Yeah, and that's. Like, honestly, that's, like, perfect for him right now because he's known for being all over the place along with getting really bad starts, which has, a, you know, a big role in that. But he, you know, just with him getting a second, still you know, getting, what, 23 points, only losing three to Anderson. He's a pretty big lead now. I'm not sure exactly how big it is, but it's pretty big.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good...
Yeah, going into the East Coast, and he has to be happy about that because
he's got a 12-point lead.
Yeah, 12 points going to the East Coast. Normally, he's playing catch up right now going into the East, and even when he was back in his prime, it seemed like it was always playing he was always playing catch up going into the East Coast. Now having a 12-point lead, but Anderson's looking really good though. So there's still a lot of racing to go, but yeah, both those guys are looking really good. But you're gonna start in the 250 class here. Vince Friese got on the podium.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising. I don't know.
Yeah,
good for him, I guess. I don't know if I have much to say just for all the drama that's been caused and stuff like that. I did already hear like remarks of people not excited for him to be lining up for 450 class this weekend.
Yeah, you know, that's
gonna be some of the 450 riders are kind of like shaking their head, just not excited for that addition to the starting line.
Yeah, wonder like how much that actually messes with their head. Like knowing that guy, like he's been known to be that guy like throughout his whole career, but especially this year. Like this year, he's turned it up on another level, or what? Or just the fact that he's getting more TV time since he's running up front. I'm not sure, but he's you could tell when he's riding with some guys. They're like kind of looking. You know, they know he's there and know who it is and. Like, especially Christian Craig. You know, he tries to pass him and just sprint right after getting past him. But, yeah, I'm curious to see how Vince will do in the 450 class. You know, he's been getting top fives in the 250s. So maybe in that 15 to 20 second range or whatever. But, yeah, who knows.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see. We'll see. Have to see what he does. I don't really know what to expect from him. I think it might even almost be hard for him to make a main. At this point, the 450 class are so stacked, and he's on probation already and stuff. And you gotta imagine that's gonna carry over onto the end of the 450 class. So he can't be doing anything too crazy, or else he's gonna be paying for it.
Yeah, for sure. And it seems like whenever you talk about the 450 class, you're like, oh, that guy can probably get like 15th. Then you look at the list of guys like we talk about every week, and it's like it's just insane how many fast guys are. There is in there, and not even that, but just former champions. Like, I counted those up, like, one day. I should have wrote it down, but it was, like, a crazy amount of former champions that either won their title in the 250 East or West or in the 450 class, but it's just insane. And
Hartraft and Martin, two second-place 250 guys a couple years ago. They're battling for 14th place.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, yeah, with Brandon on that TLD KTM a couple years ago, looking really good, right, you know, right outside the podium, and he even got on the podium a few times, I think. And yeah, he's back there with Alex and Martin always looked really good, especially in motocross, but you know, he's a podium guy, and to see them, those guys, like, barely making the mains, I don't know, it's kind of exciting to watch, but at the same time, you're like, I just kind of feel bad for all those dudes, because it's just so stacked right now.
Yeah, I just saw Martin, like, we were just talking about, like, in his vlog, he's got, like, his crazy setup for his crazy short legs and the whoops, and just, he's got, between his foot pegs and his having thick insoles in his boots, he's, like, raised himself up over an inch taller than, he said, you gotta imagine he's got a cut seat on that bike, too. Like,
yeah.
Some of his setups and stuff like that. But then he had that first turn incident with Jason, or Dylan Ferrandez, and it looked like he, like, tore up the end of his pinky and had to get stitches, and, like, just kind of broke one of the bones in one of his fingers, too. But the only reason he didn't line up for the LCQ this past week, and they said it was because he was still in the Asterix medical unit between all the other crashes, they were tending to other people, that they hadn't gotten to him yet to get his finger kind of bandaged up to be able to line up for the LCQ. So, like, he should be good to go for this weekend, which is good to see. Like, I like him out there, and I just think as time goes on, maybe he'll get a little more comfortable and maybe finish 10th or something here before the end of the season. Would be awesome.
Yeah, and they're heading out east and heading to his hometown race in Minnesota, so who knows, that could change something, or, you know, just the hometown crowd, that vibe.
And even, like, the dirt change, too. I think we've been talking about that, too, like, speculating if, like, maybe somebody like Cooper Webb will be better now that we're moving east. Said maybe feeling a little more home, and the dirt will be catered to their riding style more.
Yeah, and that's what, like, I want to hit the panic button on Webb, and I think I already did in the last episode. But even though I guess technically I did, like, there's that chance.
He's only 31 points down at this point. He's sitting in sixth. Like, I mean, 31 points in sixth place, like...
Like, honestly, that's not that much. Like, it seems like...
No, this doesn't...
Like, you guys listening might say, like, yeah, you're stupid for saying that. That's not that much at all. But honestly, it's not, because unless, like, Tomac and Anderson are consistently on the podium, that's going to be hard to make up. But as you guys know, in the first, six rounds or whatever it's been, all the riders have been all over the place, so... that could be easily made up, but, you know, for him to do so, he would have to be up there, which he's not been running up front this season at all, really.
No.
But
we'll see. Maybe they said, like, we heard that the KTMs aren't doing that well in the whoops for handling, so maybe they're getting it figured out more, and then that, like, a combination with that plus being on some, like, softer East Coast dirt. I mean, I'm not counting Webb out yet. I'm going to maybe give it, like, this weekend. If by Daytona he hasn't shown anything, I'm going to write him off. And then I'm going to go into watching Detroit and just expecting him to suck.
You know what's funny is he was really good, obviously, the year he won his title. And after that, we all expected him to come out swinging again. He didn't look too good.
Mm-hmm.
Then the following year, mostly everyone, wrote him off.
Yep.
Then he kicked ass again. Then it's kind of the same thing this year. He's not doing so good. So maybe this year he'll suck really bad, but next year he'll come back and prove everyone wrong again. I don't know.
He still finished second in the points in 2020, didn't he?
I'm not sure. Like, he wasn't bad by any means, but he wasn't, like, that dominant.
He was, like, coming, like, towards
guy
the end.
He was before.
Like, those Utah rounds and stuff like that. Like, he came through, and, like, by the end of the season, he was probably the fastest guy, but he was just, like, too little too late in 2020.
Yeah, with, like, the 7 Utah rounds.
Yeah. Man, look at these rhythm sections of this track. Like, just, like, back to back to back.
Yeah, we're back to these football stadiums. I guess Glendale was, but that's a really big floor space. We're back to the normal size stadiums right now. Yeah, we're just looking at the track map, and...
They fit it in there, man.
Yeah, that's really tight.
That's a complicated track, so.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully the lap times aren't that slow.
There's two whoop sections on this track, too, so that's going to be something to really account for. Like,
yeah.
They're shorter, short, yeah. But, like, still. Yeah, like, that should be interesting. I think, I don't know, it's just considering how crazy the whoops have been. I'm wondering too, because I thought in years past that they had like two Dirtworks crews, and like so one would be like so say one would be in Minneapolis this weekend, while like the other Dirtworks crew is heading to Daytona. So like you know the guys are finishing up building Minnesota right now, while the other guys are just starting to build Daytona, and like it's crazy though, because like you would think that maybe one guy would build the whoops differently than another.
Yeah,
and like. You don't really, it doesn't really seem like that though. Everything just seems so, they do a really good job of like, you know, like you almost can't tell a difference between a track, but one track builder's style to another.
Yeah, it seems like they always do a good job except for the whoops. I don't know what's going on with the whoops, who's pushing whatever they're doing right now, but yeah, it seems like they always kill it. And
we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out come Saturday. And for everyone listening before Saturday here. The race is at, what, 5 p.m. Eastern?
It's going to be at 5 p.m. Eastern.
So a little bit earlier, but way earlier than the West Coast rounds, but a little bit earlier than the normal East Coast rounds. I think that's like 7 o'clock or something.
That should be good, though. I will actually be awake towards the end of it.
I know. I was so tired. Like, during the main events, I was just out of it.
I'm barely hanging on to stay up that late and watch them, if not watching them the next day, so.
Yeah. But...
It should be good.
Yeah, heck, before the podcast, we're talking about the 250 East, and we're going through, or at least I was going through results in the West, and just seeing how there's, like, it just dropped off, and we've been talking about it for the last couple weeks, but looking at the sign-up list for the 250 East, man, it's stacked, even more than I thought, just, like, going on there and looking at the list.
Yeah, we got, like, Austin Faulkner, Cameron McAdoo, Levi Kitchen, Jeremy Martin, Jet Lawrence, Pierce Brown, Max Volan,
Jordan Smith.
Who's he riding for?
The Firepower Honda team.
Is that like the same one Josh Osby's on?
No, I think the Firepower is the old Muckoff team, the Australian team.
Okay, because then you got Josh Osby and Jace Kessler from Michigan. Mm. You were telling me that Tanner Ward's.
Yeah, Tanner Ward.
Is he going to be there this weekend?
I'm not sure this weekend. I know he's doing East Coast for
Which
sure.
Which is crazy, going back to like that whole Marshall Welton thing that we were talking about earlier, too. The Cowie team never wanted to let Marshall do any East Coast rounds, so it's really...
Huh.
Like, unless Tanner's doing it, like, because now Tanner's on that same team, like, I would imagine Tanner's probably doing it all out of his own pocket then, and like almost against the Monster Kawasaki Canada's wishes.
Yeah, let's look this up here. East Coast, 3 weeks out. He posted that January 30th. So, yeah, it looks like Minneapolis. He'll be in. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys. Like, the whole main event should be, like, really good. A lot of talent in there, I mean. But
yeah. Like I said, like, now I've been kind of helping make some, making some custom parts here for Marshall Wells. I'm, like, really excited to see how he's going to do. And with his, like, the last time he raced Supercross over here, I think it was almost, like, his rookie season. When he was sponsored by Justin Barsha, I believe it was the last time he did Supercross over here. And, like, he's done the Canadian Triple Crown stuff, so he's got a little bit under his belt then, between all that. But with him racing overseas, racing in the States, racing in Canada, like, he's got so much experience now. I think he'll do really well. I think he's, like, the type of person, he's got, like, nerves of steel. And he's worked for every ounce of speed that he has now. You know what I mean? He's really... really good and really comfortable on the gate with stacked guys.
And we know he's really, you know, in shape and everything, so
yeah.
Fitness isn't a problem at all.
So, like, I think just with all this added years of experience under his belt from the last time he did this, I think easy top 10, even as a privateer, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where to put him, but from what I saw before, he looked really good. And even, like, was it the year when he was on that Justin Barsha deal where, remembering the LCQ Detroit, the Triple Crown, he got together with, I think, Joey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right before the finish. they might have been battling. I don't know if they got together or what, but, it's been a few years at least, but, yeah, he's been all over the place, in Europe, up in Canada, and then he was down here for a little bit, but...
Now training at Club MX and everything like that, getting ready for the season, like, he's got a solid group of guys there to cheer him on and coach him and point him in the right direction, and then solid Supercross tracks to practice on too.
Yeah, well, I think they have like four tracks, right? Supercross tracks.
Yeah. So that's pretty sweet, and he said, I don't know, he should do pretty good. I'm excited for that. I'm really, really excited for that, especially now kind of having a little bit of help in this program is pretty cool too. So.
Yeah, and who knows with the club team, you know, they have a million guys, but if any one of those guys go down, you know, he's there.
Aniyama. You gotta think that's where like his mindset's at, and even said the club team too. You gotta imagine that's where their mindset's at too. Like, they got a, you know, Marshall's a really good friend of everybody there. Like, you gotta imagine he's on their minds as like a fill-in rider. A bunch of them just help him get to the races and, you know, have an even more solid setup and team behind him to, you know, hopefully even get him a couple more spots, you know.
Yeah, it seems like the club bikes were doing really good, at least last year, from what I heard.
Well, even shoot, that Dominic Thury guy, he's pulling really good starts, man. You know, like, it's funny because he doesn't really finish up there. It doesn't seem like he's got the speed, but you'll look up there and he'll have a top 10 start pretty consistently in the mains.
Yeah, then Garrett's been up there. I thought Garrett would be doing a little bit better right now, but he's still up there. He won the heat race. Shimoto's pressuring him, though, like, as I say that, like, he won it, but yeah, Shimoto almost had that pass in the last lap, then grenaded himself off that little, what was it, like a double or something there, trying to scrub that, but.
He said the track was slippery, I'm like, no way.
Yeah, that crash, like, I was when I was watching it, I'm like, oh my god, that just looked so horrible.
Yeah, that one made me hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
But one last thing to say on Marshall before we can probably move on, is that I imagine he is not going to let Tanner Ward beat him. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm like that type of guy, like when I'm racing and doing stuff like that, I'll get on the line and I'll just have that one person, like, they are not beating me kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, if that guy beats me, I need to hang it up kind of thing. So, like, you just do everything in your power to, like, put that person to shame. You know what I mean? Like, they don't even know that you're coming after them, and you're just, like, you know, like, they're in your head, and you gotta imagine Tanner Ward being on Marshall's old bike. Like,
yeah,
if he's on the line, he's gonna be like, that kid's not beating me. And, like, I don't know, I've gotten a chance to be around Tanner a little bit at the track, and he's, like, in the past, like, he's kind of scrawny, and, I don't know, kind of, he was just quiet, too. I guess he's just more quiet, keeps to himself and stuff like that, but it's kind of, you're like, I don't know, man, like, where, like, somebody like Marshall seems like a good head on his shoulders, and you, like, want to cheer for him, like, Tanner just, it could just be that he's quiet. I'm just like, I don't know, it wasn't my favorite. Never even really did anything, but.
Yeah, I never really talked to him that much, but he was always down here in Michigan, at Baja and stuff. When I was growing up racing, and we always went up there to Walton and stuff, see him and everyone battle up there. But yeah, I didn't follow the Canadian stuff too much lately. But I know that Marshall got bumped the 450s. What, last year was that his first year on the 450s?
Oh, maybe.
Because I know before that he was racing Tanner, you know, in that Triple Crown series up in Canada there. So
yeah.
I'm not sure how the battles were there or who was better, but I know Marshall did really good. So,
you know what I did see in Canada is Marco Canella. His girlfriend's hot as hell.
I was expecting something different. Like, oh, he signed with a new team or something. he signed with a new team? What?
I got to keep it really serious here, guys. Marco's girlfriend seems pretty cute.
Dang, I got to look her up now. Damn, we didn't think of it, or did you think of it, any names for that segment?
Oh, I brought up Cade Clayson earlier.
So, oh, yeah.
I do like his, I think it's his wife. She's from Michigan, too. She's pretty cool. Trainer. I think she's in the Army, though.
Damn. Yeah, we need a name for this stuff right now. I thought about it a little bit, actually, but...
You got any ideas? I want to hear them.
No, I don't have any good ideas. Like, all my ideas are junk.
I don't know. I just still want to hear them.
I was thinking, like, the Motley Crue song, Merry-Go-Round. But I'm like, no, because that only applies to, like, McAdoo's girlfriend, or McAdoo's fiance.
That would be the good one. Like... I guess I don't know that song too well, but
Merry-Go-Round, round.
Sorry, oh, But you can even just do girl, like you could put on the Motley Crue song, girls, girls, girls.
Yeah, yeah, with the motorcycle.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, yeah, it's got a motorcycle.
I was thinking
about
that too, like, yeah.
That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I got that Harley, whatever it is.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty cool little intro to the segment.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm like, should I do that? Will we get, like, copyright for the music? I have no idea.
Who cares?
Right here.
That's a pretty good one. I like that idea.
Yeah, we gotta add that in there.
You said you didn't think they were good ideas. Those are great ideas.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know.
Great suggestions. Oh, man.
Then I was thinking of like an intro, like a theme song, but that would work pretty good.
Yeah.
For like, a good intro.
And what better band to talk about girls than Motley Crue? Like.
Yeah. Like, if you guys don't know anything about Motley Crue, where have you been? But... if you haven't seen anything about them, yeah, watch The Dirt on Netflix. Yeah, they're pretty crazy. They're living it up.
Yeah, they say at the very end of Dirt, they're like, was it that song that they're like, that is like the number one song in strip clubs? Or what was it? But
I'm not sure.
Yeah. They said that like Motley Crue has the number one played song in strip clubs in America. Like, heck yeah.
It's yeah, quite fitting.
It's a pretty solid brag. Like, what?
Talking about girls, you know who's hot? It's, she played Tommy's wife in The Dirt.
I don't know.
Heather Locklear or whatever, whoever played her. She looked hotter though, like in the role than she does in real life.
Okay.
No offense, but
so you're just saying you just like them like rocker?
Yeah, well, she doesn't like a rocker or anything. But, woo. The Dirt. What am I doing?
Oh, okay.
You find her already? Yeah, she looks better in the movie. Yeah, blonde hair.
So Ezra has a type. Okay. Speaking of that, isn't Pam and Tommy coming out soon?
Oh, that maybe came out.
It did? Did you watch it?
No, it was on at my house. So someone was watching at my house. Yeah, I started watching it at my house. Like, I saw like 5 minutes right when I got home one day, and they're talking about selling a porno. Like, there's some contractor working for Tommy and he didn't pay him.
Yeah.
And so he stole his sex tape and was going to all these porn companies and trying to sell it, but no one would buy it because they didn't have their consent or whatever it's called.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so it was pretty good though from what I saw. But yeah, I only saw like 5 minutes, but yeah. I have nothing new for this week on this segment, though.
No, so, like, I was telling you earlier, like, my fantasy... Oh, for that segment, we're still on there? Still talking about girls?
Yeah, we can... heck, we're still on it, yeah.
Sure. Man, did you see, like, Joe Shimoda in the one Dirt Shark video? I think it was for Anaheim 1. Dirt Shark, who was just like, I don't know, I'm not crazy about Dirt Shark. Like, I don't know, I think he's kind of full of himself and, like, thinks he's better than he actually is. Like, not saying that he's bad, but he's a little bit... big-headed. I'm like, but he like was going around and he's like talking to dudes and like, you know, this Dirt Shark, so he's like, you got a girlfriend, and like all these guys but Joe Shimoda. And Joe's like, I don't know. And he's like, well, you do, you don't? He's like, yeah. And like Dirt Shark's like laying a Newman. Joe's like just a very respectable kid, you know, and he's just like, you know, don't worry about it, like it's my personal life. So apparently Joe Shimoda's got like a little secret thing or something. I don't know if she's back in Japan or what.
Oh, got the long distance. Yeah, Jet. You see, like, the video on Jet Lawrence from, like, last year. He's like, no, it's bad news.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, well, you got a point there. But, you know, I'm surprised. Yeah. Imagine, like, a guy like him. Like, you can just get any girl he wants. And I guess he's being smart, you know? He's trying to get that title, so.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, see how he's going to do. Because, like, he's kind of butted heads with a couple people. I know him and Justin Cooper had a little bit of beef. And then wasn't it even, like, Jet and Austin?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, Faulkner with, I think Faulkner had beef with both the Lawrence brothers.
Yeah, so, like, you know, and it's not even anything against them, but, you know, like, curious just because it almost seems like it happens, and I think, too, when somebody's on the, even if, like, say Jet's not even the fastest, but still Jet is going to have the biggest fan base just because it's him. You know, and I think that just kind of gets under some guy's skin. Like, they're just jealous of somebody kind of stealing the spotlight. You know, so I'm just kind of curious to see what kind of aggressive racing might come. Maybe not this weekend, but in the leading weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like, Faulkner was the guy probably ever since he was on Super Minis. Like, I guess he wasn't the biggest name until Super Minis. He was always right there in the mix, though, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, since Super Minis, he's been... he wasn't, like, a big name like Adam, but, like, everyone still talked about him. And last, like, 2 years, no one's really talked about him. So he's kind of flown under the radar with getting hurt a lot. And then in Jets, just his popularity is going through the roof right now.
Right.
And, yeah, everyone loves
him. We'll see.
It seems like everyone loves him. But, yeah, well, talking about Jet, I'm kind of off topic. But so I went to Red Bud. Went to the Jet Lawrence Red Bull thing. And they're selling t-shirts. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Let's see how much they cost. $50 for a t-shirt.
Did you buy one?
No, no. I'm not paying $50 for a t-shirt.
Especially for a Jet?
Not, yeah, he better sign it and give me some donuts with it or something.
That's crazy. I didn't realize they were that much money. Holy smokes.
Yeah, they're milking these people out here.
Yeah, because like, he's got like his own clothing line now. Because I remember like Verb did like the live like Q&A right before. And people are like asking him about like his clothing line and where he gets like ideas and stuff, because it sounds like he's trying to almost be like a fashion.
It seems like everyone nowadays, like not even in the motocross industry, just everyone in general, like they're all trying to be models. Like, have you seen anyone's Instagram post? Like, they're all posing like they're a model.
Yeah, I mean, I think I look really good in my Instagram.
Like, all of them are posing like a model. Like, it's like, whoa.
It's just the culture right now, and it's kind of. And like you said, it's kind of, I'm getting kind of burned out on the whole social media and everything like that, man. It's just...
Yeah, I took Instagram off my phone for a while, but it's like, shit, I have this thing right here called Moto247, so I can't fucking do that. But, yeah, I've tried.
But, no, I don't know about you, but I would be fucking stoked if Austin Faulkner comes out 100% healthy and, like, that speed that we saw a couple seasons ago. Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but, like, I would be stoked to watch him just start cleaning house.
Yeah, I don't like him at all, but honestly, I would be down for that. Like, just to see him up there and making it hard on Jet or even beating Jet.
Is that, do you want Jet to win? Who's your top fan pick?
I don't know. I like Jet, but I don't like all the hype he gets. Like, normally, I like rooting for the underdog in whatever sport or anything it is, but I don't know. He gets so much hype that I really don't. Want him to win, but he seems like a nice kid, though. But I don't know who I want to win, honestly.
I think for me, like, I would be...
Martin, probably.
Okay, see, like, yeah, like, for me, I think it's... I want Faulkner to win the most. Just, I don't know, something about him. I even said, I don't... you know, not a lot of people like his attitude. But I don't know, something about him I really like. And then probably Martin and then Jet. Like, and like, I think that's probably going to be the top three in the...
Yeah, I don't Martin's know if anybody...
I don't know... I feel like that's probably going to be the podium week in and week out or something. I don't know.
Yeah, who else? There's a lot of other guys, but...
Okay, isn't Pierce Brown,
right? Yeah, Pierce Brown's in there.
Styles Robertson and RJ?
Yeah, RJ's in there. Fucking forgot about RJ.
But RJ, too, everybody's like, oh, man, he's a seasoned veteran. He's going to do this, but then he never delivers on it, you know?
Yeah, like, it seems like he's right there, just so close.
He might be able to get, like, one win this season. You know, like, something like that. But, like, I don't think he'll be... He will not consistently be on the podium.
I see, like, him being, like, a 3-5, 3-6 spot.
I see him, like, fourth place start, battling for third, tips over.
Yeah, well, I can see that, too, yeah.
I think that is his agenda. Like, I think, I don't know, but I think the top three, though, would probably be, like you said, Jeremy, Austin, and...
I hope Jeremy gets it done. Like, he's been in the 250s forever. No one gives him shit, which I'm not saying anyone should, because I really like the dude, and plus I believe that, you know... I think it's fine if you're racing 250 if you're 30 years old or whatever. I don't know how old he is, but he's up there.
I think he's 27 or 28, I think, because he's pretty close to the same age as me.
Oh, he's younger, I thought, yeah. But still, you know, I'm fine with it. He's, you know, earning a paycheck. Not like he's won a couple 450 titles, or 450, 250 outdoor titles, I mean, but not like he's been sweeping everything, so
no.
I think he should still be up there, but where was I going? Yeah, okay, so I remember him racing when he was number 19, Detroit, 2014, I believe, in the 250 class. And here we are, 2022. He's still in the 250 class.
Yeah.
Now I'm back on Star Yamaha again. And, yeah, hopefully it's time for him to put it together. And he's done it outdoors, so let's see if he can do it in Supercross. And,
he's like, so yeah. He looks pretty good. Like, I mean, I was getting into it last week on his Strava and stuff. So I looked on there this week. He's still running 745 miles. So I'm still calling BS on that. I don't know. All I'm saying is I think I got you covered in a foot race, Jeremy.
Yeah. 9 a.m. Detroit. Meet me in the parking lot. 40-yard dash.
Meet me at Wayne State University campus. We're going to hop the fence and run on the track. Everybody's going to be like, why does he seem so tired tonight? I don't know. It wasn't like running a foot race with somebody.
Not like you made a bet for $100.
Dean, those are pretty cool shoes. Why are you carrying them around? Because they don't fit me because they're Jeremy Martin. Because I stole them.
Yeah, hopefully he does good. Like, the guy seems like such a cool dude. And plus last year sucked so bad for him and Alex. That first lap of Orlando, I think it was. They both get hurt. Freaking first lap, then Alex gets ran over by McAdoo.
Yeah. I forgot about McAdoo. He's OP. Completely forgot about McAdoo.
Every time I go to think of the guys in the 250 East, it's like, okay, these three guys, I'm like, oh, you gotta add him in. Oh yeah, forgot about him. Yeah, the McAdoo. Yeah,
I still don't think he's gonna be on the podium. I'm still going. Austin, Jeremy, Jet for podium, and I don't know what order, but.
So what the top like the really top five or so the guys that have a possibility of winning would be what Martin, Jet, Faulkner,
McAdoo,
and Hampshire.
What about Kitchen? I mean, he's a rookie, but like
five guys right there, and Kitchen's right there. Yeah, who knows. What he'll do. He looked good last year in the outdoors, but
that is it is crazy how many more, how much staff. I mean, too, like, because like right now, especially, like, there's not that many guys on the West Coast. Like, I don't know, they're just
yeah, it sucks. Normally, there's more guys on the West Coast. West Coast is.
I mean,
like,
I think it's awesome for me. Like, I'm going to Detroit, so I want to see a stacked East Coast. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
Hopefully, not too many people are hurt before then. Like, I mean, it's only a couple rounds, but.
Yeah,
it's a 250 class, so like, I would love to like say like look at our list now and then like we should almost do like I might even print it off at work. Like, I'll print off like the 250 results for the main, and then like we can compare it to like the last rounds, because I bet you half of these guys will be hurt and not lining up. It's a 250 class.
Yeah, and we saw what happened in later on in December for the West guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going down. Then
pretty well, especially crazy. Like if this was another West Coast round this coming weekend, like Shimoda wouldn't be there, Hunter wouldn't be there, you know, like, and that's like two top, like that was you know, like they were podium guys.
Yeah, now Christian has like a 30 some point lead, or
is it that many?
28 at least, I think, right now. I don't have them up, but damn, I'm
give me 2 seconds.
I'm slacking, but yeah, it's around 30 right now. And what that was round six, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So they got three to go. They got two shootouts, though. So.
Yeah, that's going to shake things up.
That's going to be a little bit different for sure.
Yeah, 28-point lead. You called that?
28.
Michael Mosman.
Yeah, Mosman's there, but he's just a tad bit off of Christian there.
Yeah, man. Christian's going to wrap this up early if it keeps going at this rate.
But yeah.
Crazy. Oh, this would be awesome.
Yeah, so wonder how that's going to affect him moving forward. Because he already has the 450 deal for outdoors. He's just, you know, I should say he's just moving over the 450. But for next year, you know, there's some contracts that are up. Dylan's contract's up.
If he wraps up the title early, I think Craig should, like, race, like, the last round. In the 450 class,
he should.
That'd just be.
He would do good too.
That'd be pretty cool. Like that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, they're already doing like another shootout, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, he shouldn't have anything else to prove if he's already wrapped up his title. Just.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever. I already won the championship. I'm just gonna go race the 450 class and podium in that.
Imagine if he did both. That'd be crazy. I know guys used to do that, like back in the 90s, race both 125 and 250.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are badass. Now it's like you don't see that many guys that race 250 on one coast and then go to 450 for the other. Like, I remember Sealy did it. Like, Freezy and Moto Concepts are doing it, but like not the big name. Not like the factory guys. Like, Sealy did it, went to HRC for a few East Coast rounds, including Detroit one year.
That's another 250 East guy, by the way, that we didn't mention is Oldenburg. That is a stacked class, man.
Yeah.
Now, the more I say it, like, if Marshall can get top 10, that's beast, man. He deserves a ride in those states if he can get top 10 in the 250 East.
Yeah, it sucks. Like, you look at 10th place in 250 West and compare that to 250 East, and I think there's going to be a big difference right there between those guys for sure.
No, we haven't even talked about the Club of Mex guys. Enzo Lopes and Phil Nicoletti, man. Like, dude, there's so many guys.
Yeah, and from...
It's almost like a... It's like... That is like a mini 450 class, like for the 250 East.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like every single one of the guys lining up were like, oh, man. Like, you know, these are well-known people that have done things in this sport.
Yeah, Nicoletti did really good before Canadian on champ, JGR. Man. Yeah, he went up to Canada. He went up to Canada. Canada! He went up to Canada. Yeah, did really good there. Got in a little fight with Mike Alessi. Yeah. That video cracks me up every time. If you guys didn't see that video of Phil Nicoletti and Mike Alessi, where was that, Sandalie or something? They got together, and Phil came off the track just screaming at him when Mike was laying down in the grass. Cracks me up. But, yeah, from what I've been hearing, he's been looking really good at club. Marshall looks really good from what you're saying.
Yeah, we got Josh Osby, Jace Kessler.
Yeah, you got a lot of people. And Enzo Lopes going back to club after a year on that Phoenix Honda racing team. But, yeah, it's like normally the top three or four might be really stacked. Then it drops off. But, like, it's the top five really stacked, honestly. Then it doesn't drop off hardly at all. Like, it just keeps on going. And I think there's going to be a lot more good battles to watch that, like, these guys might be battling for, like, 8th or 9th, and it's still going to be, like, really good racing to watch. So, I think the East Coast is perfect to actually go out and make a Supercross and watch it in person where you can actually see all the battles happen. Because yeah, there could be some really good battles. Like, even 15th place is going to be pretty fast.
It is going to be crazy. I'm just trying to see it. I can't find anything else here of other people.
Yeah, I got nothing new, really. And nothing new, just Shimoda being hurt. Not sure how long he'll be out for. You know, he has 5-6 weeks before Seattle, so he has some time there. But, yeah, Hunter going down, getting hurt. I didn't see any updates on Hunter, did you?
No. Oh, there was like that. There's like a Roto Moto video, but I don't know if it had. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I don't see anything. But yeah, him going down. Tomac was up there, got a good start. Another good start. So he got really good starts at the Triple Crown, all three main events. They call them races, not a main event. All three races. I did really good there, and then, you know, obviously, and Anaheim 3 got a good start again up there with Anderson. Anderson still looks good. Yeah, nothing really that much more I can think of that we can touch on this week. I'm waiting for the East Coast, honestly. So it's going to be some good racing.
Yeah.
Just have to watch qualifying and stuff, and now... Curious to see if Cooper Webb is gonna just look different. Like, who knows, he can come out looking better, and even if he's in the top three, I think that'll be a huge leap for him for after the shitty six rounds, so you know, who knows.
We can see. Did you see that video of Danger Boy I sent you?
Yeah, a couple days ago.
Yeah, the whoops. He's looking pretty cool, man. Like, why isn't he doing any Supercross Futures or nothing?
I think he's going pro in 2024.
Must be, yeah. Like,
so 2023 he's doing Futures. What's he in, like, the B class right now? So, yeah. And that team's stacked, too. It's, like, everywhere you look. You got that star team with Romano, Matt LeBlanc. Who else is on there? There's a ton of guys. But, anyways, yeah, I think that's it. Anything else you wanted to touch on?
No, I mean, we kind of touched on girls, so that's cool.
Yeah, we did a little bit there. We got a song picked out, I guess.
Yeah.
We made some progress. Yeah, nothing. Like, every once in a while at work, I was, like, thinking about a segment name for that or thinking about some info on that, and I just didn't have anything, so I got to work harder, but we'll get it going.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, we're going to be seeing. Like, oh, I guess we can do our picks really quick. This week on Rocky Mountain, it's eighth place.
Eighth place. Who knows who I'm going to pick.
I'm going to pick Cooper Webb. He's been eighth place, like, almost every single week in and week out. Literally, he's, like, he finished eighth last week. It's insane. Like, I don't know how somebody can be so consistently getting eighth place. I'm just, I don't know. Well, and maybe, like, watch qualifying, and I might change that. But Cooper Webb is my Rocky Mountain eighth place pick. And then top five will probably, I don't know, I'll probably go Tomac. I think with East Coast and stuff like that, I'm going to go Tomac, Anderson. Probably still just keep Sexton on the podium because he's an East Coast boy too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I don't know, maybe shoot fourth and fifth. Like, Roxon seems like he's just going backwards. So, I don't know. My fourth and fifth is probably between the three guys of Cooper Webb, Dylan Fernandez, and Malcolm.
Yeah, Malcolm's been looking really good.
So, same thing after qualifying. I'll probably have a better pick on all those.
Yeah, I'll have to go with Tomac for the win as well. Anderson, I guess, in second and third. Who knows at this point? Ken Rock's in third. He's making a comeback. I'm ballsy right now. I'm feeling a little risky. He's getting third. And now Malcolm, fifth or fourth, and Chase, fifth. No, flip that around. Chase, fourth. Malcolm, fifth. I don't know, I don't feel confident in those at all, but I don't know, I like picking Tomac now. You know, I'm a little bit more confident in him. You know, he's been getting those starts, so. Then for 250 class, I don't know anymore. 250, I'll go with.
Dude, 250, especially without seeing anything right now, 250 class is almost impossible to pick. It's like the 450s at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I'll have to go with Jet. And he's just, I guess, my safe pick. But Jet, Martin, then Faulkner, if we're doing top five, McAdoo, then Hampshire, and rounding out your top five.
There. Okay. I'll probably go Jet also, Faulkner, like Martin, fourth place, I guess, yeah, McAdoo, and then top five guy. Dude. I don't think RJ. I would not pick him. Like, he is, like, he would, like, that's who you want to pick, that's who you should pick, but he's just gonna fall and fuck it up, and he's not even gonna be here by Daytona. He's gonna be hurt. You remember that. He's gonna be hurt by Daytona.
Bold predictions.
That's like Jordan Smith.
Say that recording. Yeah.
Jordan Smith's not making the whole season either. You just know it. So fifth place. Kitchen,
yeah. I don't know. You got him, you got who else was I thinking? Pierce Brown.
That would be a good fifth place pick right there, actually. I think that's somebody that hasn't had time and should be doing better by now.
Yeah, he was looking good
before he got hurt, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, so it should be really good racing this weekend. I feel like I say it every week, but it should be better this week. I'm broken record here, but going to the East Coast with not only, like, the different dirt and everything for the guys in the 450 class coming over and you know, who knows, Webb could do a lot better, like we were saying. But, yeah, the 250 East class is looking really stacked right now. And that should be really close in tight racing. And, I don't know, like, I really kind of wanted to pick Martin, but I don't know. Jets, you know, he's been looking amazing. So, I guess, yeah, we'll find out and see how accurate we are. And like, I should really save our picks. Like, that... Like, do you make the same picks on here as Rocky Mountain?
Like, I might change it a little bit after I see qualifying, but, like, last week, I think I'm pretty sure I picked Anderson to win during the podcast. I picked him to win then, and all I can say is I'm sitting pretty good. I'm not like a front runner in fantasy Supercross. I'm winning all of our groups right now.
You're doing really good, yeah. You're like, what, 836?
But I haven't won a prize yet, like on actual Rocky Mountain. Even if I got a $10 gift card, I'd be stoked.
Yeah, there's over like 100,000 people playing the game. You're in the top 1,000. I was in the top 2 or 3 or something like that, and then I got bumped down to like 11. Freaking suck.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to inch up there, and like I said, now I'm actually trying to shoot for like a $10 gift card or something, so.
Yeah, they have a lot of prizes, so I think...
Dude, they gave away, like, a brand new Shoei helmet, like, a brand new OGO. I started, like, looking at it, I'm like, it was bad. I shouldn't have started looking at the prizes. It's just going to make me more and more competitive at this stupid thing.
But... Yeah, that's how I'm looking at all this. Like, they gave away a bike, or two bikes before for first place, a 450, then second, a 250, and it's like, then it goes down, and you're like, even if you get, like, I don't know, like, a 100th or something, I thought it was still, like, something like Dunlop tires or whatever, but... Yeah, anyways, I guess we'll... see how this thing plays out here in Minneapolis for the first round of the East Coast, and come back next week and see if we're way off or actually on point here. But
well, we're gonna be on point. We're experts.
Yeah, we're not the fantasy experts, but we're some sort of experts here, professionals here. But yeah, anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and peace out. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Moto247 Show. I'd really appreciate it if you guys would go give us a follow on our Instagram pages. We are on there at Moto247 is our main page. Then our podcast page is on there at the Moto247 Show. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening again, and peace out!